see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Acid rain. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program this afternoon. I'll be with you Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. every afternoon during the course of the week. At night, Mondays, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I have a second show with Revelation Radio Network. You can acquire it on my own website. You can listen there. The Blog Talk Radio also plays. They have a chat there, but I don't frequent that particular part. Sometimes the Blog Talk is hard to hear, but there is a chat there, so you can visit there as well. Blog Talk on Revelation Radio Network, Watchmen for Jesus program, 9 to 11 this afternoon, every Monday. Then Tuesday through Friday, I have Bible study, which is an hour and a half long, and I cover controversial subjects, if you will, and I give you detailed scripture, and we talk about parts of the Bible, including the Nephilim, the how to be saved. We talk about all issues. This week, I'm going to go for a potpourri of subjects, but primarily this week, I'm going to talk about the popery, the Vatican Church, and how it's going to re-spiritualize. It is happening now. I've been warning people for this for the past four years. There is going to be a re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church, and 99% of the Roman Catholics have no idea what they're going to get slammed with. They go to their church, their masses, every Sunday or whenever, burn the candles or whatever they do, but it's going to be completely renovated and changed in a short period of time. And when it happens, it'll be a short period of time for the transition. And they don't know it, and it's going to smack them smack in the nose. And they don't know it's coming because the Vatican is keeping it from their tens of thousands or millions of parishioners They're keeping it secret right now. A little hint. Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, was the father of the New Age movement. That should be some sort of clue to all those who think themselves to be Watson or Columbo. He was the father of the New Age movement, and the mother to the New Age movement was Helena Blavatsky. The two have a lot in common. They laid the groundwork for the re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic doctrine, which is getting ready to happen any time now. Pope Francis, a Jesuit are murderers. Jesuits are the ones that set up the Civil War. The Jesuits set up the World War I, World War II for the Illuminati. And I got a direct quote from Abraham Lincoln himself. He exposed the Jesuits for who and what they are. All of them. There is no exception. They take a blood oath, and if you take the time, people will find it. You can locate it on the internet right now. It's held at Congressional Records. And you can read the Jesuit oath. It was exposed. Alberto Rivera, whom they murdered, who was a former Jesuit priest. Everything you hold true on this earth is backwards. The only one you can hold true, and the only document, if you want to call it that, you can trust your life into, the person is Jesus Christ. That's it. The document people refer to as the King James Bible is the only true word of God on the face of this planet, literally. And that can actually be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not one theologian in any college or university nationwide that can prove otherwise, not one. They make claims, they fail every time. It doesn't matter if he's a theologian from Harvard that's written 50 books, makes no difference whatsoever. They're always put down by the King James Bible that overrides anything they write. And there's not one theologian that can even begin to write anything better than, more accurate than, the King James Bible. Not even one. It's proven out over the centuries. And before that, it was put away. And that gave the period called the Dark Ages. Because the Bibles they had during the Dark Ages, held at the Vatican, no matter what it was, if it's controlled by the Vatican, it was corrupt. And that can also be proven because all the Bibles, all the works of theology, Septuagint, Apocrypha, Douay Rheims, all these so-called Bibles can be traced to one corrupt individual. His name is Origen, a Greek philosopher in ancient Egypt in the 4th century. That's a fact. Before that, you had the copies of the originals maintained at Antioch up to the 1st and 2nd century. And the scribes that were directed to copy the originals, did it to the letter. Made one mistake, they had to tear it up, burn it, destroy it, start all over again under careful scrutiny. You will not find anywhere any originals, but you'll find copies of copies, but from the scribes were perfectly, inerrantly transcribed from the original apostle. The Old Testament consists of partial three-quarters of the Torah, which was God-given word to Moses, the first five books of the Old Testament, perfectly translated and transcribed, and all of it, collected at Antioch, all of it, held throughout the Dark Ages in the Alps, all of it, then revealed by King James in 1603, was collected, and 47 translators listened to the word, perfectly transcribed and translated. Over 5,000 documents, manuscripts, parchments in three different locations separately, going over each and every one 14 different times to come up with the King James Bible, and it stands today as the only perfect, inerrant Word of God. And as soon as somebody tells me it's not, they've lost all credibility. I just delete, block, or just walk out of the church. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what part of the sermon they're in. I'm gone. Because I know they're not led by God no matter what they say. It is not time to play around with the Word of God, especially now. The signs of the times are upon us. I'm going to talk about this sort of subjects all week, and exactly how they've controlled us through the immigration, through the education, through the political arena, other areas, how they've destroyed the families by design, using social engineers, through Tavistock, how the Joint Chief of Staff were traitors, beyond words. I got a little word for them, too. I'm a former U.S. Marine, former captain, 12 years, got out in 87. I'm here to tell you, I've studied this intensely, and the Joint Chief of Staff are traitors beyond your imagination. They work for the Luciferian Council of Foreign Relations, which is the Illuminati, bent on your destruction, and that means of every armed forces that we have on every continent and in the United States. They work only for the secret societies and the blood oath that they've taken. And they become traitors to mankind. They go to church and they lie when they come out and say that they're Christians. They are not. Because they've taken a blood oath for the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, Freemasonry, to Lucifer. That is their God. And that's a fact. And they are responsible for the destruction of our own forces, because their loyalty lies within the secret societies and for the fruition of the New World Order. Well, I got word for them today, as if they'll really hear it, but I feel compelled to let them know what's going to happen to them. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now, and then we're going to get into it. I take my broadcasting serious, no matter how many people have listening, no matter what time of day, whatever. I don't like to play around on my broadcast. It's not something to play with. That this real conspiracy needs to be laid out, because it involves every area of your lives. It's not about religion. That's ridiculous. Because this one conspiracy involves the connection of education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, all of the arts, all the politics, and all the finance and economics, and the economies of every nation is involved in this conspiracy. And they're all orchestrated together to lead us to the New World Order. And that is also irrefutably proven. It can't be denied. But every breath you take, you could deny that you're still dead. But every time you take a breath, it proves otherwise. I could deny anything I want to. But denial is not proof. Denial is cowardice. We need to face what's coming. And to do something about it. But what we have to do about it isn't what people think about. They don't understand. Because they're being led around by our own government in the wrong direction. And churches, 90% are not preaching the true word of God. And they use corrupt Bibles almost throughout. They will be judged by God for this. That you can rest assured. But in the meantime, God's going to start talking to people. He's going to start talking to hearts. He's going to start letting the Holy Spirit to get guide people to divine appointments, to lead people in the right direction, right path, and accept Jesus as Savior, there's going to be divine appointments set up. God's calling his people together. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be extremely difficult. And those that want to stand up for Jesus Christ, you better buckle your straps. It's going to be hard toiling. But it's coming. It's on the way. But it's all in God's timing, not ours. Well, I'm going to open up those avenues today and talk about all of them, especially how the globalism, which is the bottom line, and how they've manipulated the population with those areas I've talked about. We'll talk of some about humanism and what's called the abomination of desolation, how it's being set up. I'll cover quite a bit, and it'll be all through this week. And how the Pope is connected to the re-spiritualization heading toward the New Age movement and the false fake Jesus that's coming, named Sananda Emmanuel, calling himself Yeshua. Well, I'm going to expose that all week, that fraud, and this extraterrestrial lie that they're going to feed you. We'll talk about that too. We'll begin. Lord, we thank you for today, beginning of the week. Father, we thank you for this network. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share our knowledge and work together. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God through the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you for the little miracles you've given us. And Father, we know that the miracles you allow, that Father, it shows you're there. But Father, it's all in faith. The time of service, we know fathers are coming. And we ask you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, to guide us all to divine appointments, to call those in that's going to be ambassadors to your truth. We're praying for our veterans that's coming back off these wars. And Father, we pray for those that's not went to war. That, Lord, through those psychotropic drugs are being given and the challenges they're facing, Father, that our own countrymen, our own leaders are trying to take them down. That, Lord, somehow you'll open up the minds and eyes of those and the hearts of those that are seeking the truth, that see the signs, to feed them the knowledge, the missing knowledge of what they need, Father, to be able to find your truth. Father, we pray for those that hear those voices, Father, that's caused by technology and these drugs. Father, we pray that you'll silence those voices and turn back that technology that's attacking them and take it back to those sending it and destroy their technology and destroy their computer systems and destroy their methods of this mental infiltration. Father, we ask that you send divine appointments for those that's contemplating suicides. Of all those, Father, that we know this is demonic. We know it's by technology. We know it's been orchestrated together. That, Father, you use some means of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you'll silence those voices. Father, we pray for those children that's being abducted for these rituals, sacrifices. Father, to take those sacrifices away from the Wicca and expose the Wicca and the highest level of governments and the Freemasonry and the Black Knights of Malta, the Black Robe Regiment. That, Father, you'll take away their sacrifices and, Father, expose them out to the public. We pray for our families, Lord, that you'll bring our families together and those separated and divided for the Word of God, that, Father, divine appointments will bring them back. That one family will sanctify, one member of the family will sanctify another and then branch out to close families and friends and, Father, to spread the word of the gospel before it's too late. Father, we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around us in these days of holiday, these days of their occult ritual sacrifices. Father, that you'll slow down their legislation. Father, you'll surround the state of Oregon with your Holy Spirit and to slow down and destroy that legislation, Father, of euthanasia. The Father, you'll cause confusion in the Congress of those to do the right thing and those that not, the Father, that those that do the right thing will be the most powerful. And Father, to give us time to spread the gospel before that time comes, before the day of the Lord. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, when they come up with these headlines, I collect them every day, literally, at least the days I have broadcasting. And I have warned and warned and warned about things, and as if, you know, people are going to listen to it. But I feel still, no matter if 10 people listen, or if somehow or another, at the highest level, they hear my broadcast, I don't know. I just let the Lord lead it, or not, whatever the case may be. I still feel compelled. I'm told, I haven't been keeping track, really, that I've been doing this for 5 years. I just look to the future, literally. You know, I almost never listen to my own past broadcast. I feel things in my heart to say. I say them. I move on. I look to the future. You know, I don't look back. I don't make counts of, you know, necessarily of how many did this, how many did that because of what I did. I don't get into all that. I just don't keep track of it. I don't really care. It's up to God to do whatever does, what he does, and use it ever he wants to or whatever. I just move along. I do ask, though, that people do go to TalkStream Live. I just want to see how I'm getting through each broadcast and if I'm moving up and then people are listening. And it does help me adjust what to say, but I still say what's on my heart as the Holy Spirit leads me. Now, I had a commentary about the attack on U.S. military and families, which I am deeply involved in studying so I can at least break it down simply, because it's very, very complicated what they're doing. For me to know this and to see it going on and then read the comments of Facebook, read the comments of YouTube and all this, I see only 1 out of 100, 1 out of 50, whatever, an infinitesimal number, really understand how they've orchestrated this attack. In other words, you read an article about the Pope doing something. They never hit truly what the agenda is. People don't understand it, like immigration. They get stuck on, well, they got to stop the immigration, and they got to do this, do that, come up with legislation. They don't see that the immigration is being used at the highest level of governments. And it goes back to the year 1400. It goes back to even FDR that was doing the same thing. Obama is just carrying it through what Bush, Reagan, Carter, all the rest of them have done behind closed doors. The effort is to infest America with all the aliens possible, and that included Europeans in the year 1492. Now, everything I tell you, I have evidence for. I have direct quotes that are credible, extremely credible. Beginning in the year 1400, the plannings were set up by the generation of the Illuminati, actually before then. 1400, I have documented. It goes back to about the 10th century to make the North American continent the new Atlantis. You will find Sir Francis Bacon was channeled, evil as he was channeled by the evil, by the fallen angels. He was channeled to come up with detailed plans of how they're going to foment the new Atlantis on the North American continent. Why? Because of the rich resources for alchemy, witchcraft, that the North American continent held, that the others don't. The Rosicrucians, Freemasonry, Knights of Malta, at different levels of their degrees are given this knowledge. Other degrees, they don't have a clue, not one clue what they're involved in. They're just some kind of brotherhood. That's all they know. But they are, in fact, working toward their own extinction and their own degradation and their own demise by helping these higher-level secret society members. But going back, by the year 1425, the Illuminati generation of that era, the 15th century, had then made plans to begin the infesting of the North American continent by aliens, not aliens from space, but non-indigenous personnel, persons, cultures, by the year 1492. By the use of a secret society member, and one member of the Medici family also, was Columbus, out of Spain. And he laid the groundwork. He knew exactly where he was going. He was like 300, 400 years before him. The plans were being orchestrated. There is a division between the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, as they call it. But I don't want to get into all that nonsense. Because both sides are going to hell anyway. Literally. Both sides are divided fallen angels. And they've lost this already. But God allows them the latitude to set this up. Because it's going by the book, leading to the New World Order. You see, Nimrod, the first Freemason, and the Freemasonry, knowing what the alchemy, the principles of alternate chemistry, alchemy, was given to him by the fallen angels. And given to him so that he could orchestrate and plan a way to bring them into this realm, which they are doing now. They taught the women of the day sorcery. They became the first witches. The men, warlocks. Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, was lined with copper. The copper and the tin, bronze, all this. I don't know the details of how the alchemy works. I don't want to know and don't care. But I know basically how it works. That's all I want to know in my study of how they could open up portals through human sacrifice in the Tower of Babel to allow the demonic realm to come inside this first heaven. That's what it's all about. Always has been. Nimrod, weak link to Cush, weak link to Ham. Ham was the son of Noah. And Ham was the one accursed, because he saw the nakedness of his father. And he became the weak link, and so Satan worked on him through Cush to Nimrod. Nimrod was killed by his great uncle, Shem, who would lead the bloodline to Jesus. Shem killed Nimrod because Nimrod was sacrificing children to open up those portals, allowing the life force to be funneled, used. That's what happened. And then God destroyed the tower, and that was the first attempt of the New World Order, was Nimrod. That knowledge was passed on. God allows it, because you see, Satan is prince of this world on a supernatural level. No such thing as aliens or ascended masters. These are nothing but demons and fallen angels. The sons of God of the Old Testament is who they were. Today, they're restricted to a certain extent, except when ritualistic sacrifices, etc., the Aztec, the Mayans, evil to the absolute core, the murder of tens of thousands or millions of people to open up the portals to allow the manifestation of these fallen angels into this realm with a physical body, the transfer of DNA once again to create the giants as in the days of Noah. The modification of DNA that led to the pharaohs, hybrids of the fallen angels and daughters of man. The pharaohs were hybrids. I call them bubbleheads because that's how they looked. You see, they had a lot of practice during the Old Testament before the flood. They were called giants, Nephilim, giants. God destroyed them in the flood. That was the purpose of the flood, to destroy all living things, because the DNA had been so corrupted and it was so evil. Save 8 people and animals of certain uncorrupted DNA. Fallen angels came for a second round. A second group of 200 fallen angels descended down from their first estate to the second heaven into the first, that be earth, and began again with Nimrod. You see how it worked? The angels of the first attempt, Jude 1 verse 6, are chained. The second wave of fallen angels came after Nimrod and started teaching the arts and the craft. Very sneaky, huh? And have been doing it ever since. So during the Old Testament, before the flood, they were able to manipulate DNA, causing one species of animal to become another. So you could say evolution, but it was guided. But they had to wait generations to see how it worked out. So they had 1,550 years of practice. And then after the flood, that was what happened between Adam and Noah, was 1,550 years. However, after the flood, they had the knowledge gained to manipulate the DNA, and that's what brought the pharaohs into existence, hybrids and their physical abominations. That's why I call them bubbleheads. They had the big egg-looking head and whatever. It was covered by that headgear they had. By their corrupted DNA, once again, started creating giants. As a matter of fact, before the 10th century, around the 10th century and before, you'll find the Indian plains of North American continent, a group of giants called skinwalkers. That before the 1400s, somewhere around there, the Indians finally exterminated the last bunch of them. Lot, Joshua, they had to fool with them. The Anunnaki were never aliens. They were fallen angels, hybrids. Matter of fact, you'll find in Joshua, it talks about we're as grasshoppers among them in Numbers. Talks about it. The giants. It's in the Bible, clearly. But see, now they're starting to bring all this out, aren't they? Don't you find that odd? That all of a sudden they're starting to bring out the existence of these giants, these Nephilim, the abominations, physical abominations, all of a sudden. Yeah, because they want you to know about them. Why? Because they're getting ready to release them. Once God removes his protective hedge, they will be released upon this earth once again. By prayer and fasting, you can deal with it. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God, that's the fallen angels, not men of Seth, not the men of God, it's impossible. If you've got any preacher, rabbi, or priest, or pope, I don't care, has a problem with that, please, have them contact me. I'll simply give them scripture and say, there you go. Believe the word of God, or don't. Your choice, because the word of God confirms that the sons of God of the Old Testament alone were the hybrids. Excuse me, were the fallen angels. Job 38:7 is a good example. There were giants on the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God, the fallen angels, came into the daughters of men, I'm sure you understand what that means. And that means they have to be pretty physical to come into the daughters of men and create babies. Now, if you don't understand that, I highly suggest you go to a sex education class in the community college and learn about the birds and the bees. And if you're over 21, oh, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's pretty physical when you can have sex with a woman and create a baby. That's pretty physical. But the angels in heaven, they're spiritual, can't do that because they're spiritual. Until they take a physical body, that's a whole different ball game and a whole different DNA. Copper-based DNA, not carbon like humans. The copper-based DNA allows them to manipulate their shape and particle vibrations to change shapes into whatever they want, really. Dragons, reptilians, animals. You see, your particles of your body, when you change the frequency vibration of the photons, protons, atoms, molecules, whatever, it changes the shape when you have a certain frequency vibration. Alchemy allows them to know how to do that. By trial and error before the flood, they learned how to do it. They also learned how to quantify it from giants and abominations to bloodlines that is hard to tell apart from them and human. As a matter of fact, the pharaohs of Egypt, there were hybrids, the fallen angels and daughters of men, migrated to Europe. Also a group intermarried, I don't mean like marriage, but I mean interbred with the tribe of Dan after his exile. After they were exiled, they were cut off. They sold their souls to the devil. Family, your Merovingian bloodline in England today, your royalty families are made up of the pharaohs of Egypt. They can trace their bloodline all the way back. Charles Mayne, King John, Attila the Hun, Muhammad the Prophet. All these are the same bloodline as even Queen Elizabeth II. These are facts, family. King Edward IV married into the Muslim kings of Spain and Seville. That's the link with Queen Elizabeth II and Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad the Prophet, you'll find the same bloodline as Ishmael, son of Abraham and Hagar, the Egyptian princess. You might want to go back on the archives after you've heard this and hear that again. And then you research it and see what you get. People only knew. I'm going to say it again. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. That's pretty physical. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, and men of renown. They were leaders of humankind back then. They were cannibalistic. They were evil, and the flood wiped them out. Numbers 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now that's pretty darn small, and they're pretty doggone big. The Anunnaki are not aliens. They're the hybrids of the fallen angels and daughters of men. You think you had a 12-pound baby, and you think that was big, or a 15-pound baby, whatever. World Guinness Book of Records, as the biggest baby ever born. Man, that's nothing compared to what these were. Deuteronomy 2:11, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. Deuteronomy 2, verse 20. There also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time. And the Ammonites called them Zamzumins. They had tribes. They had families. They had camps of giants out there. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained at the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstand was a bedstand of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubic of a man. Family, that's big. And you see, Goliath was also a Nephilim. He had five brothers that were Nephilim. Family, Nephilims existed after, and they exist right now today in the ground. You know why they're not here on the earth today? God's got to help back. He's got them help back. 9 cubits is about 4 meters. It's like 12, 13, 14 feet. Half of that's about 6 feet. That's big. That's really big. And they're really mean, too, to say the very least. Deuteronomy 3, verse 13. And the rest of Gilead, and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which were called the land of giants. See, they had their own, actually they kind of dealt with those that still lived around them. But then they get real nasty and ugly about it. They had fights, they had cannibalism, all kinds of abominations. Family, this is way past. This is way past any books that you got that are fictional. This is real. So, the Bible covers all this. Covers all this. And it's quite amazing when you start reading the Bible that it's not some book of, like, Harry Potter. Harry Potter is actually real. It's about witchcraft. All it is a teaching manual. Rollins was in witchcraft. Serious witchcraft. That's how they do it. Is they actually, under the guise of exposing it, I'm exposing the Anunnaki, I'm exposing the evil. No, they're teaching it's what they're doing. It's all about teaching. What you do is when you expose it, you also rebuke it. And you talk about how the evil of it is, the reality of what they're up to, their agenda. Now, that's something they didn't want you to do. And you also draw connections. That's all connected together. That's something else they don't want you to do. So today we're talking about giants of the Bible. Because that is the alien. That is the leaders of today. Family, your leaders today are connected to this Nephilim. That's important. Now, in Deuteronomy 3, verse 13, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. That was after the flood. Joshua 12, verse 4. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was a remnant of the giants that dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edrei. You see, you have this lie about ascended masters or aliens, Pleiadians, coming in spacecraft, coming from Ashtar Command. It's almost like something on TV. Well, I assure you it's real, but they're not aliens. This is where they get their name, Ashtar. And you'll find it in the Bible. Joshua 12, verse 4. The giants that dwelled at Ashtaroth. Joshua 12, 13, 12. All the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, who remained in the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. For those that don't know what smite means, Moses kicked their butt and sent them down the road packing. Did the same thing in the Indians in the North American plain. They would trap them in the caves. They'd find out where the caves they were sleeping. They'd cover the caves up and then burn them out. The Indians, American plains, the Indians that were here first, the Mexicans that were here first, before white man came in, they were indigenous. Indians and Mexicans were here first, or in the same bloodline as Shem. Dark, dark skin. Not black, not white. Jesus was bronze, hair like wool. That was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't black, and Jesus Christ wasn't Caucasian. Jesus Christ was Middle Easterner. Now, why would he be Middle Easterner? Could it be that he lived in the Middle East? That might be a pretty good answer, wouldn't it? Well, if you look directly across in about a, almost the same, on the same ley line as the Middle East, you'll find the North American plain, where the North American Indians lived. Before God divided the land with water. About 10 generations after Nimrod. Uh-huh. So if anybody can lay claim to being in the same type of culture or skin color as Jesus, would be the Indians and Mexicans. Caucasians, get over it. Because the white skin, the Caucasian Jesus, uh-uh. That's Ananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel. He calls himself Yeshua, Jeshua. That's why they want to get you used to using that name. When Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, announces his arrival in the Ashtar command, nonsense, it's called disclosure. Stephen Greer rattles off at the mouth about it. He's part of this agenda. He's part of this deception. At the highest level of your government, highest level of your legislators and scientists are being lied to. Thinking that they're space travelers or they're aliens or whatever, they're being lied to. They're in deep underground military bases. They have Nephilim already being produced. That's what the militaries are getting ready for. It's not World War III. They're getting ready for that so-called alien invasion nonsense. A space show, you want to call it? Fine. Barium oxide is being sprayed in the atmosphere. Look it up. Look it up right now. Strontium barium niobate, and you will look that up, if you actually try it, to 3D holographic imagery, and you'll see an army project that where they can project 3D images in the sky using 3D holographic imagery technology, satellite technology, and barium strontium niobate in the highest level atmosphere. It's being distributed by chemtrails. Add to it the voice to skull technology, the bubble they put around the earth, ELF transmission. You got yourself not only sound, but also visual for a fake alien type invasion. And it's going to be a big lie. They're going to say that this is the good angels and bad angels. They're going to say these are good aliens and bad aliens. No, they're all bad and they're all evil. Every doggone one of them. There's a book out called Space Wars or Angel Wars. It's nonsense. It's to mislead you into thinking that God's angels need UFOs. God don't need anything that mankind produces or has. Mankind needs God. God don't need mankind. For anything. Back to the giants. Joshua 15 verse 8. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom, under the south side of the Jezebite, the same as Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which at the end of the valley of the giants, northward. And Joshua, in Joshua 17:15, And Joshua answered them, if thou be great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim is be too narrow for thee. And then Joshua 18:16. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which the valley of the giants on the north descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the south of Jebusi on the south, and descended to En-Rogel. Family, the giants are there in the Bible from the Old Testament after the flood. And the DNA was quantified. They knew how to, by alchemy, to give you the royalty families of today. Others are giants. They know how to manipulate the DNA to hybrid animal beings of some kind. They did it before the flood, and they're doing it again now. They call it aliens. Nope, they're demons. Well, family, they're getting you prepared for this, to accept it through the New Age movement. And it all goes by the book. It's quite amazing how this the Bible lays it out. And the Vatican is going to accept it. Even having a receiver, a greeter, with the so-called aliens at the Vatican. They have it all set up. They have top secret, cosmic top secret level clearances. Understood by reading that research that at JFK was going to expose this. Also, among other things he was going to do to take him down. It was not time. I understand they've had battles down there underground. And so forth and so on. Well, now they're letting you know that there's giants out there because they want you to know it. Now, this goes in many kinds of different directions. Now, family, I'm going to talk about right now about how they're keeping you all busy so you don't make any connections and dots and connect the dots. Because that's what they don't want you to do. So they put before you all these things on TV, all this set up news and all this called the dialectic, sports, everything that they can to keep you tied up, busy, and working so you can't connect the dots. The churches are keeping you from understanding about repentance, salvation. Hollywood's to keep you distracted with fantasy-type TV, movies. And they're telling you the truth, about 90%, 80% of truth in the movies. Label it science fiction, label it other adventures and all this sort of thing. James Bond, whatever. But they're putting the truth in front of your eyes and calling it fiction. So you assume it's fiction. But they're really telling you the truth, especially lately in these spy movies and, you know, the Bourne Identity, whatever it is. All these things are telling you the different techniques and methods, technologies they really have. But we don't connect it because it's just adventure movies, you see. And they're actually real. And they invent, they create, they design certain movements to foment their causes. And I'll tell you one right now. Matter of fact, I found, that's why I looked at the newspaper for, to show you. And it's right in front of your faces. For example, Winston-Salem Journal, dated July the 1st, article came out that got my attention. It's called the NAACP, Ask for Extension of Eugenics Claims. Now, the NAACP, ACLU, all these organizations, NRA, KKK, Black Panthers, Aryan Nation, I mean, you name it, ADL, it don't make any difference. They form these organizations, Sacred Name Movement, Hebrew Roots Movement, Christian Identity, United Church of Christ, every single doggone one of them are formed up to divide and separate the masses. It's like a smorgasbord on a buffet table. Just pick what you want. Well, NAACP is one of them. In this one, the North Carolina's NAACP chapter and others are calling on legislative leaders and Governor Pat McCrory to extend Monday's deadline for victims of the state's 20th century eugenics program to formally apply for compensation. So now the NAACP there is to slow them down, pretending to be on their side, but to distract them from the truth. You see, this civil rights organization and the Forward Together moral movement involved demonstrations in Raleigh. They want the legislation to push back the deadline by at least another year until June 30th, 2015. And it's the same date at which the legislation directed payments to qualified applicants from a $10 million fund. Now, what's this thing for? Well, what happened was, it was a job reaching out to survivors of the program in which the state sterilized what it considered inferior citizens incapable of caring for children, unquote. Boy, that should ring in your head like a bell. Because, family, that's exactly what those like Brzezinski, the Council of Foreign Relations, Joint Chief of Staff, and all of the secret societies think of you. Your Chatham House in England, think of you. The Canadian Institute for International Affairs, think of you as inferior citizens incapable of caring for children. Therefore, they're going to take away the children. I can prove that. Because in 1989, Miss Hillary, I always say this, it's probably not professional, but I don't really care. Miss Hillary Bob Clinton, in 1989, who was going to leave Billy Bob, but she was convinced by the CFR and by other folks to go back to him because they have other needs for her later. So she went ahead and went back with hubby, and they formed this marriage in hell to continue the agenda of the New World Order to where they are today. Now, she is going to drop him like a hot potato, but she didn't know the bigger picture. Well, she does now. You see, in 1977, Ruth Bader Ginsburg sent a report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and, using her previous court opinions, stated that the federal government should provide comprehensive child care. That, in other words, the purpose for that was to get children out of the home. Was to change the homestead law back then to provide double benefits to couples who don't live together as the husband and wife would do. That was to split the families and marriages. That was the purpose of it. And to draft women in the military and assign them to combat duty and apply affirmative action to the armed forces, and this in order to equalize the number of men and women. This was purposely to eliminate a traditional feminine roles in America. That's the purpose of it. Well, guess what I found? I found an article that came out, July the 7th. Well, shut my mouth. That is today, isn't it? Isn't that up to date? Yeah. You see, a Knights of Malta member by the name of Panetta, that rascal last year in June, that silly rascal, where's Elmer Fudd when you need him? That silly rascal, Panetta, lifted the ban on women to frontline units in combat. Never mind the 11,000 sexual assaults and not 2011. That's here and there. And never mind the 15,000 sexual assaults of male on male since Obama lifted the ban on homosexuals come out, and Bill Clinton helped him by saying "Don't ask, don't tell" in 1991-92. That was an orchestrated plan since 1991-92 to bring homosexuals in the military. What they come in for? For jobs. How do you get them to do that? You take jobs away, fool. So you take jobs away, then they want to join the military to get a skill. Then get out. Well, they get in. Hey, they get your meals free. You get paid. They'll stay in. Yeah. Honey. Okay, baby. Yeah, you see. Well, the idea was to divide the U.S. military forces, and there is a separation between straight males and homosexual males. Hello, they don't get along. Well, the Joint Chief of Staff, they know that. Because they're generals. They should know that. But their priority is the secret societies and destruction of our military forces. You think John Fonda was a traitor? Man, she don't hold a candle to these lying Joint Chief of Staff members that brief the Council of Foreign Relations. That's the epitome of treachery, liars, and murderers. Well, look at the article I found. It's planned out 1977 by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who just won't go away. Neither does Hillary Clinton. Shoot, neither did any of them. They're sticking around for now. Draft women in the military, assign them to combat duty, affirmative action to the armed forces, in order to equalize the number of men and women. You had 15,000 male-to-male sexual assaults in 2011 or 12. You had 11,000 sexual assaults of women. That's 3,000 under male-to-male sexual assaults. Do you think that might divide the U.S. forces? Do you think the Joint Chief of Staff didn't see that coming? Are they that stupid? Or are they that evil? They knew it was coming. This is the plan all along. Now you know why there's 26 suicides per day of our veterans. 80% of those hadn't even seen combat. So where's the post-traumatic stress coming from? And Paul Rykoff of the so-called movement to help us, help veterans, is there to slow us down. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Illuminati, Paul Rykoff. How come somebody don't say something about that or do something? Get him out of there and put somebody in there that's going to do something. Oh, that's right, you can't do that because he'll be assassinated. That's right, I forgot about that. Anyway, so the article that came out, July the 7th, quote, "The Marines are looking for a few good combat-ready women." Well, well. Sergeant, I'm not going to say the name, speaks to his squad of Marines before they head out on a training march with a 55-pound pack on February the 22nd, 2013, at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. The Marines and the other military branches must open combat jobs to women in 2016. More than 160 female Marines are taking part in a grueling training program that begins this summer. They're bringing this out again to let people know it's available. The challenge for the Marines and for the Army is how to open up ground combat jobs to women in January 2016 without lowering standards. They've already found out they're going to have to. 85 female Marines already made it through on last fall at Camp Lejeune, which include drills such as attacking a mock enemy force hidden in pine forest. That course lasted 8 weeks, and the men and women all completed the same training. More than 160 women will be taking part in a training exercise. We'll start this summer. They will stretch out to the next year. That'll be this year. Included simulated combat exercises in Mojave Desert, Pacific Coast beaches, and Sierra Nevada mountains. The Marines will march with 100-pound packs, mount an attack that will include tanks, then dig in a defensive position, They practice pulling a wounded Marine to safety. They crawl over obstacles, climb mountains and cliffs. Now, being that we all know that men and women are physically the same, right? Oh, they're not? Oh. Do tell. I wonder how many people realize that men and women are not physically the same. That men sort of have stronger upper body strength and women don't? You think God made us different? Maybe? Possibly? I mean, once a month, I just get, get hungry or whatever, right? But what about once a month with a woman? It ain't my fault. Something happens once a month, y'all. And also, something happens in the body when that happens, too, y'all. And you know they get pregnant, too, y'all. And what happens when they get pregnant? What makes them pregnant? Men do. And where they're going to be out in the combat zone? What are they going to be doing standing on the same foxhole? In the tents in the back region of 10th Marines. In the rear. What do you think they're going to be doing? Are the Joint Chief of Staff just completely dumb? They get a lobotomy before they became a general? I don't know. What happened? Or could it be? Could it be that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, this is in a report in 1977, to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military and with a higher level agenda of eliminating traditional feminine roles, nationwide. And also, when they hear about the published sexual assaults, which they do, they tell them about them now. Are you going to tell your daughter or son to go in the military? No. They don't want you to, because they're trying to reduce the effectiveness of the U.S. military so that the U.N. forces, Chinese forces, Russian forces already here will come out during martial law. There you go. As a matter of fact, thanks to the Clintons, Reagan, Carter, the Chinese have bought out territory in the United States called foreign trade zones. 288, to be exact, and growing, as collateral for a bank loan and stimulus plan after 1999 it had to be set up. So they bought out 30% of our debt. They own 30% of America. Has Ron Paul said anything about that? No, because he's part of it. Has anybody else at the highest level of government said it? No, because they're all part of it. Joint Chief of Staff raised Cain for the treachery, since we're going to war with China and Russia, that we bought out the land? No, because they're part of it. They're all part of it. And as the lieutenants or the captains, majors, lieutenant colonels who want to make it big, are going to say a word? Nope, they're not going to. They've taken an oath, that stupid oath, not to say a word because of classified information. Now you see what classification is all about. It's not to hide information from the enemy. It's to hide the information from the public. They lose anyway, but in the meantime, this is a game they're playing. Male and female, the task has got to be the same. Combat readiness will not be compromised. Are these people serious? If we get this right, combat readiness will improve. And the second thing, we're not going to lower standards, said Marine Lieutenant Colonel Michael Samaroff, who's part of the planning team. Man, do these people live in a bubble or what? He brushes aside the main complaint of critics that training will have to be watered down so women can pass. What are they thinking? What is going on here? These types of jobs, infantry, artillery, and armor, take a great deal of upper body strength, which is one of the big physiological differences between men and women. Well, duh. And that strength comes in handy when carrying a 100-pound pack. See, they know what they're doing. They go through all this. Like, for example, quote, females that are small stature are a huge disadvantage compared to males. This one lady added in the Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition at the University of Pittsburgh. Good for her. Females that are small in stature are at a huge disadvantage compared to males. She added, let's say a male Marine who is 200 pounds or 180 pounds, so that's a huge barrier. And if that's something that's required of everybody, then there's no way around that, unquote. Now, if a woman, a civilian, Catalin Allison of Department of Sports Medicine and Nutrition, University of Pittsburgh, can figure that out, what's wrong with a four-star general that's got his head stuck up his nice of Malta Yahoo? Tell me that one. Or one of them's got a lobotomy. I don't know. And if they start jumping out of planes, they got messed up ankles out of the result of that. What's going to happen? You see, I can just go on and on and beat it to death if I wanted to, but you got my point here. It's beyond all this. This is not a mistake. This is my point. They're not making a mistake here. They're doing this on purpose. It's designed this way. Now, it's going to tell you about how they're going after the children, right? And Hillary Clinton, how they're going to take your children away from you, is by the International Rights of the Child. And I know that Nancy Schaefer, who was murdered, her husband was murdered by the CIA. Let's get down to it. I don't have time to beat around the bush. Y'all can look it up, and I've talked about this last week. She was after the Child Protective Service, which is Child Destroy Service. And also, she wanted to help stop the North American Union, which is part of the 10 nations in the Bible, the 10 kings. Let's get down to that. She knew what was coming. That's why they murdered her. So, the International Rights of the Child, they need justification to get it signed. So they got to show you how children are being abused. That's not hard to do. But that's why you see it on the news today. That's what Sandy Hook was all about. That's what these articles come out throughout the United States of children being abused, used, thrown away, hurt, killed, and so forth. And a lot of them are. But they want you to know it. Why? To justify, so you'll write your congressman, write your representative, you got to sign the International Rights of the Child, protect our children. Well, it's going to quite do the opposite. The idea, and they tried to get it signed November the 20th, 1989, and Americans wouldn't sign it. The legislator then wouldn't sign it. So they had to readjust it, the preparation, and wait for another day. They had to work on the senators. They haven't done it yet. To finally get it signed. And when they do, under the guise of protecting children, they will steal your children immediately. And the schools will become prisons. That's what the security is there for. Security is not there to protect them against shooters. The MK Ultra program produces the shooters, and they're all on Prozac or Ritalin or other type of antidepressant pills. You'll find all the shootings. Past couple years, all the shooters were on some sort of psychotropic drug. That's to justify the control of the schools by law enforcement or security. To protect the school from the parents that want to take their kids out of schools when they start the mass inoculations that will start the killing process and do classes they're going to teach them about sex education, all this nonsense they're coming up with, down to the grade school level, you won't be able to remove your children. Once you give them up, they're not yours anymore. It's all coming. Family, y'all better wake up out there, and you Joint Chief of Staff, shame on you. Well, I'm getting ready to give you some word here in a minute. I think Joint Chief of Staff need to know, as if they're going to listen to what I got to say. but I still feel it upon my heart to say something. And I'm going to. But this article that just came out, what are you going to advise your kid to do when you hear about the sexual assaults and all this other going on? You're going to say, don't go, don't do that. Stay in college or we'll get you a job so we're doing something else and you won't be going. They don't want you to go. The ones that don't listen to go, they still got going to get you, you see. That was awkward. Because they're trying to break up the United States military. And it's working perfectly. This is the big picture. As a matter of fact, there's an article came out called This Stunning Truth About America Will Drop You to Your Knees in Anger. A revelation is so powerful it could spark a revolution. This came out Thursday, July the 3rd. Somebody wrote it on Before It News. And these people talk about this patriotic fervor, blah, 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 so forth and so on. And they say, only in America could politicians talk about the greed of the riches at $35,000 a plate campaign fundraising event. Only in America could people claim that the government still incriminates or discriminates against black Americans when they have a black president, a black attorney general. They go into all that racial stuff. Only in America, they say, could they have had two people most responsible in our tax code, Timothy Gaither and the head of the Treasury Department, and Charles Rangel, who once ran the Ways and Means Committee, both turn out to be tax cheats who are in favor of higher taxes. Man, this Gaither guy and the presidents of our country that's been in the past, Gaither, all of them are throwaways. You understand this? These are nothing but throwaways. They have nothing to do with nothing. Brzezinski is very significant. But these others are throwaways. Gaither, he's not, he shines shoes, man. He shines shoes. To head of the Treasury Department, you got to be kidding me. IMF uses him to shine their shoes. That's all he is, a throwaway. Like Nuremberg trials. They're nothing. But that's not the point. Only in America, they say, can they have terrorists kill people in the name of Allah and have the media primarily react by fretting the Muslims might be, that the Muslim might be harmed by the backlash. Only in America, blah, 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 keeps going. Well, here's the deal with this only in America thing. This fits in the Illuminati's agenda at the highest level. So they're going to show you, family, they're going to show you all, like they are in Canada, in Greece, every other government, how worthless the governments are. So there'll be military takeovers. There'll be a resurge of a new government. And you'll want it. And you'll say, this must be a good one then. See, that's a lie that they're going to give you. As a matter of fact, Rick Joyner, and I played this article before. I mean, played his own speech on the TV. His own words that there should be. He's praying for a military takeover of the U.S. government. Well, I know for a fact that the plans of the Illuminati is to show the worthlessness of all governments, that they acknowledge the worthlessness of all governments. So when there's a takeover worldwide, that the world population will accept the world order. That's the alternative. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. That's why they're showing only in America this can happen. Only in America this could happen. This is what the Joint Chief of Staff are all about. It's secret society. It's not Malta. Not Columbus. It goes way beyond these articles. These articles are only to distract and promote the agenda of the Illuminati and the Freemasonry. Here they say something like, only in America could you need to present a driver's license to cash a check or buy alcohol but not to vote. That's terrible. We need a change of government. Only in America could the people who believe in balancing the budget and sticking by the country's constitution be thought of as extremist. Gosh, we must need a new government, don't we? Yeah, we sure do, Clem. Okay. You You see what they're doing? They're showing you how worthless the government is, so you'll accept another one, and that's a new world order. And that'll be the worst of all. See, I like to take these things a step further to show you what they're really up to. And they're using the media to teach you. For example, one article, even Jesus wouldn't buy the rapture. You have a policeman that turned exorcist. I read this one about this policeman in New York, I believe it was, that turned into an exorcist. And who's this guy? Ralph Sarchi or something. Didn't consider himself a particularly religious guy, that is, until he began battling what he says are dangerous supernatural forces. I said, oh. So Sarchi is a self-described demonologist. Okay. He's not a born-again Christian? Okay, well, anyway. Who was once a cop for 42nd Police Precinct in New York City. And the inspiration for the new Hollywood film, Deliver Us From Evil. He told The Blaze that he believes possessions and infestations are on the rise. Well, that's true. They are. Now, here comes the catchy part and the sneaky part. And also, this individual was the inspiration for the new Hollywood film, Deliver Us From Evil. Well, here's the tricky part, how they're sneaking up on you. Of the many exorcisms he has participated in and assisted with, Sarchi, who became an independent part-time paranormal investigator while working with NYPD, said the most terrifying thing he's seen occurred when he placed a crucifix. Ain't got no power with demons. Crucifix has no power. Movies say it does, but it doesn't in real life. Crucifix is nothing but an idol. Place a crucifix next to a supposedly possessed individual's head. Quote, we had a couple of relics in the church that day, and mine was on the right side of this person's head near the ear area. I usually stand in front, he said. I could see the eyes, that one eye looking over the crucifix, but not turning the head. The head was like a statue. The eyes were going back and forth, and that was a frightening thing to see. Well, it goes on. It says, quote, while he was always the strong Roman Catholic, it wasn't always the strong Roman Catholic he is today, Sarchi said that he realized that battling the forces of evil meant securing a good relationship with God. I don't see Jesus mentioned at all here, because you can't form a relationship with God without Jesus Christ. Anyway, continuing. Quote, if I was going to get involved in battling the devil, I need to get a strong religion. He said, I pray every day. I pray my rosary every day, and I pray to God every day that what I'm doing in this life is pleasing to him. I can only do what I know he wants me to do, unquote. God is not hearing his prayers, I can tell you right now. The rosary are nothing but plastic and wood or whatever they're made out of. Beads have nothing to do with God. They're nothing but idols, and they're nothing but material goods here that you can sell in a pawn shop. You might get some money out of them if they're from a famous person. Same thing with a crucifix. God's not in the crucifix. God is off the crucifix. When Jesus Christ, who's God incarnated, came off that crucifix, it's no longer valid. It's a tomb, it's an instrument of torture and death, is all the crucifix is. Alberto Rivera talks about that. And if you look in the Bible, it says about idols and idol worship. About this, so therefore, if that be the case, his prayers will not be heard. He doesn't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He uses idols, uses rosary beads. None of that counts for anything. He must renounce the use of that. He must renounce all that nonsense. You see? The crucifix can't help you. It is death. It is not Christ. You know what the INRI means? It's just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings and governments or rulers. The crucifixion of Jesus brings forgiveness and life, but the crucifix is a Jesuit symbol for vengeance and death. That's what it means. There is no Queen of Heaven. There is only Jesus Christ. There are no idols. There's no rosary beads. When people say, I want to pray a rosary, I'd say, what do you mean? You'll pray to a garden or what? It's nonsense, family. Get out of there. Leave it behind. Look up the oath of the Jesuits. You know Jim Jones was a Jesuit? You know that Castro was a Jesuit for 7 years? Jim Jones, the Jonestown Massacre, well planned as a military, religious, and political event. See what they've done all this time. CIA organized evil to the absolute total core. This is what's going on around us today, family. And this exorcism, the exorcism that they perform, there's a supernatural connection with the demons that's inhabiting the body and the exorcist that comes along from the Roman Catholic Church, the priest. There's an agreement that the demon will leave the body, but he makes a big show of it. Now, Alberto Rivera talks about this in his testimony. I'm not making any of this up at all. These are not souls of the dead. They make a big show out of leaving the body, but they're demons. What it is, when they have a real exorcism, the host and the crucifix, they don't really drive away the force, because between it is a devilish scheme by Satan to make people rely more and more on the priest or the exorcist for protection, and it'll cost them their souls. And why Satan and demons want the souls of men? It's what's going on today. It's what war is all about. It's not about democracy. You got to go back in time to an incident that took place in heaven. Lucifer rebelled against God. One third of the angels backed Lucifer in this attempt to take over supernaturally. And for them, it was a disastrous decision. And Satan became the prince of darkness, the devil. And you see, the demons became an army of spirits, and they're capable of taking different shapes and forms, as I explained to you earlier. They're cunning and intelligent. They serve their master, Satan, and that with blind obedience. And that's what you're dealing with today. Genesis 1:28, King of Kings, Luke 4:6. You see, Satan had legal and spiritual control over the kingdoms of the earth. And Satan commanded his demons to take over the minds and bodies of rebellious mankind by possession. So, as it says, this is what happened, this is what we're dealing with today. You see, then, in the Old Testament, God saw the wickedness of men and was great on the earth, and every imagination of thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Genesis 6:5. So at that point, the whole world was involved in the occult, New Age movement. That's what the same thing. And so God destroyed all flesh upon the earth by a great flood, except for Noah, who found favor with God and was perfect in his generation. This is what's going on right now. and they're going for the next round. Now, I'm going to be talking about this all week long. And trying to bring all this out. Because we're going to have to fool with it here in the future. You know the first city built after the flood was Babylon? Satan set up his headquarters there. Semiramis was the queen of Babylon, queen of heaven, they called her. Nimrod led the people to rebellion against God. We're back to Nimrod. That's where it started. But Nimrod, in actuality, was a master warlock, a male witch. Under his direction, astrology was developed. He also developed the groundwork for both white and black witchcraft. He was also called Moloch, and sacrifices to Moloch were not uncommon. And that's why Nimrod, one of Noah's grandson, but was a great uncle, Shem, killed Nimrod to end these occult practices and human sacrifices. Semiramis claimed to be the spirit of God, incarnate to human mother. Her symbol was the moon. She was the virgin mother. Soon statues of her holding the little sun god appeared everywhere, and she claimed that was the savior. Now you know where it comes from, the queen of heaven, and God warns us from that. And idols. Even the vision of Fatima is a powerful political trick set up by the Vatican. It's nonsense. Total nonsense. Satan inspired the writings of the Apocrypha, a series of counterfeit holy books that he invented to destroy the Bible. They were approved by the Roman Catholic Council of Trent. Now, I'm going to talk about the Third Council this week also. And the Book of Maccabees was one of the books in the Apocrypha. It's out of this book that the idea of purgatory came from. Another bunch of nonsense. It all comes from heretical books and the Roman Catholic doctrine. Family, the mark of the beast, the Babylon, the great whore, they call it, is all of religion. Jesus Christ is not about religion. Jesus Christ has little to do with religion. He has to do with our redemption and our salvation before God. Religion was designed to take you away from the truth. There's no religion, family. Even Christianity is corrupted. And there's some heavy things I'm talking about today. Well, I'm going to continue it the rest of this week. We got 30 minutes to go. I do want to remind you that we're played up in highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays our broadcast and our Bible studies randomly in his network. And he's got sponsors up there, and all he does for us is play our broadcasts and Bible studies. That's it. I don't even think any other connection, but I do appreciate him doing that. But he also is going to increase his output, and he has sponsors up there. And give him a call and find out how he's doing. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, you'll find a contact there at highportradio.net. All I want is to get my broadcast and Bible studies put out. That's it. Family, see, I don't get anything from this at all. I do this 100% free. I pay money each month for doing this, that, and the other. I don't have no donate button. I don't sell books. I don't sell CDs. I don't sell anything. I don't sell no gold, no silver, freeze-dried food, nothing. All I do is try to get the Word of God out and try to bring this true conspiracy out in the public. That's all I do now. I have my own network. Thanks to donations. That was another story, by the way. I acquired these sort of by default. Now, regular listeners know the inside on that one. God works in mysterious ways, don't he? Anyway. Yeah, that's the part about this demonology. There's no demonologist. There's no such thing as a demonologist. Man, you either have the Holy Spirit in you by prayer and fasting. It's what God says. Jesus says in Matthew 17:21. Yeah, look, if you have an NIV Bible, look it up. I'd love to be there when you do, too, and see your eyeballs when you look at Matthew 17:21 in your NIV and other Bibles. It's not there. You won't find it, but you will in the King James Bible. How about that? Because the disciples takes Jesus off the side after he takes a demon out of one of the stories there, one of the guys, whatever. Matthew 17:21. They can't take the demon out. They try everything they can. They can't do it. Jesus comes up, commands that demon to get out. He's gone. And so they embarrassed. They take Jesus off the side, ask him. This is how the story goes in the Bible. Matthew 17. It's basically, man, how'd you do that, Jesus? Because we tried. We couldn't do it. And Jesus says in 17:21, howbeit, this kind, talking about the high-level demon, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. So praying will only get the lower-level demons out, as long as you're righteous. But fasting takes for the strong man demon to be coming out. Well, they've taken that out of the Bible. Because they don't want you to know that. That's the reason those Freemasons, Westcott and Hort, removed it from the Bible. Except for the King James, they couldn't remove it. King James stands alone. 17 verses I found in the New Testament in research that are missing. And these are significant verses. Not taken out, making it easier to read, but taken out to make it confusing to read. Now, if you want one of those Bibles, go for it. But you better read Revelation 22:18-19. And then when you conduct Bible studies with those missing verses, good luck on that one. You're going to be embarrassed when they have the verses and you don't. And you're conducting the Bible study. Family, they send articles. That's what I look for. Of what they're doing. And to manipulate the public. And they take these articles. They're significant. And they do what's called sending it out viral. Nationwide. So everybody reads it. And so these so-called extremist groups. Religious groups. So forth groups. Will cut these articles out. Say, guys, look at here. We have a meeting Wednesday night. I got some things to show you. So they all show up. The patriot groups. Or the religious groups. Or the extremist groups. Whatever. And they say, look at this article. Look at this. Look what they're doing. And they'll show them those articles. Nationwide. And they want that disgruntlement with government, which is not hard to do. So they'll accept the new world order. And as a matter of fact, as my regular listeners will say, and they say, oh gosh, here he comes again. He's going to read that quote again. And I'm going to say to them, yes, I am. But I have to because it ties up some of the loose ends here. And the article, the actual quote, and look it up yourself, Brock Chisholm, Chisholm, Director of the United Nations World Health Organization, is that high enough for you? Expressed the typical globalist view when he stated, after 1948, it was into 1953, he said, and I quote, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas, unquote. He was a Unitarian. He died around 1971, but he was a Canadian, and he was the director of the World Health Organization of the United Nations, 1948 to 1953. In 1945 was the beginning of the takedown of America and reduction of the U.S. forces of their abilities, and they knew it would take at least one or two generations to do. This is what's really going on. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 1977 report, is a part of this. This is what's really going on. To create that division, they send these articles out. Here's one for you. Now remember, all the news is controlled by the Illuminati. But they use their minions to print these articles, to actually perform these situations and events and so forth, so they can report on them, to cause division in the United States. You cause division and chaos brings order. Okay. July the 6th, 2014, an article came out by Kevin Fosick. July the 6th. Obama called the N-word in headline. Here we go. So now Westview news editor George Capisi, or whatever, C-A-P-S-I-S, agreed to run this piece along with its shocking headline in his paper. The what in the White House? So he prints his paper in West Virginia. The N-word in the White House from West Virginia. So now it's hit the news as of July the 6th. Now that's going to raise some eyebrows, isn't it? Well, it's meant to be. Because they got to have chaos to bring order. So now they'll go after it. And they'll use this. And this is the purpose of it. Now watch this. Well, you can't watch this. I just have to read it to you. They perfectly control all media, as evidenced by congressional records. And for purposes, in case I have new people, I will read you the congressional record. You can find it yourself if you want to. But a 1915 congressional record proves the conspiracy between powerful business and media interest. Because in March of 1915, J.P. Morgan, of course, interests, the steel, shipbuilding, and powder interests, and subsidiary organizations, in 1915, they got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States, sufficient number of them to control generally the policy of the daily press of the United States. Now, they found, I quote, it was only necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise and edit information regarding the questions of preparedness, militarism, and financial policies, and other things of national and international nature considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. And this policy also included, listen, the suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interests served. You said you had a free press? I got news for you. Now, the Chicago Tribune in 1950, they did a good job, but they were fixed in 1960. They made sure that didn't happen again. Congressional Record, February the 9th, 1917, volume set 54, and pages 2,947 to 2,948. Now, that was 1915. Well, guess what? 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations was created by Rockefeller, subservient to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is Illuminati in England, in London, by the Rothschilds. They formed the two sets of Illuminatis, CFR, RIA, which the CFR has the Council of National Policy, by the way, right-wingers underneath there. Like Palin, Missler, LaHaye, all these guys, Pat Robinson, etc. But nevertheless, 1915 to 1921 in 1921 under the CFR, then the Rockefellers took control of the media interest nationwide. Until when? Today. In 1991-92, it's increased since then. Members of the Council of Foreign Relations in the media were ABC, CNN, CBS, NBC, RCA, Associated Press, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Reader's Digest, Time Magazine, Washington Post, and Newsweek. And that's when syndicated columnists under Clinton, Ruth Annie Geyer, woohoo, evil to the core. You had, as the Illuminati members, how about this? John Welch, David Brinkley, John Petty, Tom Brokaw, they were all Illuminati. Jane Pfeiffer. You had Wall Street Journal, Karen House. Oh, boy. How about that? You had the ABC. You had Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters. They're all Illuminati. Every dog. I got a whole list of them here. Y'all seeing? This is the point I'm trying to get to you. It's how well this is organized. Time Magazine, Straub Talbot. I got like six or seven here of him, of others underneath Time Magazine. They're all part of Illuminati. It's increased since 1991, 92, 93, till today. They control TV, newspapers, magazines, everything. That's how it works. They lose. Because this is a supernatural war we're in. And there's no way possible they can win. It's impossible. But they're trying to change the laws of the land. And when they change the laws of the land to reflect against the Bible, God will pull away. Well, I have word about that. I think I need to say it now. Put in my heart to say. Primarily to the Joint Chief of Staff, members of secret societies. Hear the word of the Lord. You will have your new world order. But when he allows it, the more America pulls away from God, from me, he says, the closer you get, Americans will know of your treachery and deceit and your working with Satan's organizations and belonging to the synagogue of Satan. And once the delays have stopped, then God will allow the new world order to move forward to its fruition. There'll be no stopping it. However, it will not come as you are led to believe. You will be cursed, and your families will be cursed for four generations. This new world order will be your undoing, and death, as he will allow Satan to then slay the wicked that's turned against him. It will happen. Your own people will turn against you. The Bible foretells it. In Psalms 34:21, it's very specific. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. And only those in your family who are born again will be at the gates of heaven. All others will be accursed. And it says in Matthew 5, in Matthew 5:33, talks about the oaths. Again, you've heard that's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, neither by the earth, for it's footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair black or white, white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this comes of evil. In Matthew 10, he says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the son, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receiveth me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. God is serious about this, and it's coming. It's real soon down the road. Falling in line with these giants of the Bible, with these Nephilim, with the secret societies, all this is going to lead them down the wrong path. He says, repent. Repent from your blood oaths and receive Jesus as your Savior before it's too late. You know, you bring life insurance to your care for your families, why temporarily on earth, but you fail to provide for the eternal security by not leading them to Jesus. The good deeds you do are filthy rags. Going to church, to synagogues, cathedrals count for nothing. The sinner's prayer counts for nothing if not given with true meaning and true heartfelt repentance. There is false men of God and false churches that he will judge very harshly. Family is coming down the pike. And decisions have got to be made. And sacrifices made. He says in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wondrous works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth well them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. and great was the fall of it. Joint Chief of Staff, you have a decision to make. You may lose your rank. You may lose your retirement. But you'd rather lose that than losing your life and land in hell. That's what he spoke to me. And these games you're playing with people is going to come back on you. Because they have in their own planning process, and it will happen. In the protocols, chapter 15, they confirm by their own writings and their own planning that they will execute, exterminate all Freemasons that know too much, and all others below the ranks of 33rd degree will die, quote, as if by some illness, and they'll never know of the death sentence that's been pronounced upon them, unquote. This is documented, and it actually, what's amazing part of it is, it parallels what the Bible says. It will happen. They will not let you become saints and leaders of the New World Order. That's my main point. They're lying to you. And the Lord is trying to warn you that you got to get out of there and get out of there now. Because you're going to get caught up in it so bad, you're not going to be able to get out. And those demons you got in the lower levels, they're not aliens. They're not ascended masters. They are demons. And they have a physical body. Those little gray guys with big old eyes and bubble heads, those are formulated bodies that house the demonic spirits inside of them. And you have no good guys. The so-called friendly aliens are liars. Swedenborg, 18th century, confirms this. He's a man who spoke with angels. They didn't call them aliens back then, 18th century. He knew they were spirits. He knew they were fallen angels. And even Swedenborg, he warns you about anything they say, all they do is lie. Only Jesus is the one you can trust. There are no others. There is no other one. So family, we're almost toward the end. I'm going to be talking about this. Angels, the giants in the Bible. Rest this week. I'll be covering excruciating detail all week long to expose as much as I can. The one called Sananda is now coming out in public view more and more every day. The Vatican is changing their theology, as I've warned people many times. And there's a re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church that is documented, getting ready to happen. It's going to slam Roman Catholics right square in the nose. And they don't know it's coming. They don't have a clue yet, but they will after disclosure. You know, I'm a paper in North Carolina as a, you know, quote unquote Bible Belt and all this. And I was looking on it, a Sunday paper, July 6th, as yesterday, and I saw here that Brittany and old John here was getting married. Jimmy and Margie. And then I read here where Elizabeth and James was getting married. That's nice. And here's another one getting married. Then I saw Frank and Gary getting married. 50 years together. Celebrating their 50 years togetherness. We're legally wed in New York City on January 23rd, 2014. Why they wait so long? Because they're changing the laws. It's blasphemy. Mocking God's, why did it stay together? They got to get married. Why? Because it mocks the institution of marriage. That's why they're doing all this. Why they wait 50 years to get married? Why all of a sudden now are they changing the laws? All of a sudden, nationwide. Well, I told you why a little while ago. It's all part of this grand plan. Buckle up, family, because it's coming down the pike. Man, like a choo-choo train. Changing the laws of the land is going to bring all kinds of hell down. But family, they lose. they lose. Jesus Christ wanted to cross the Calvary. He got back what was lost after the flood, before the cross. Only through him can you be saved. And family, this is the message. It's not a religious message. It's not a religious program. It's a program of reality telling you what's getting ready to happen. And it's documented. That's all I care about doing. Well, family, my website, watchmenforjesus.com, has archives if you want to read them, hear them. And Watchmen for Jesus Facebook is there. We put articles up there and stuff. And we'll be back tomorrow, tonight, 9 to 11, Revelation Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, or you can come to my own channel here at Watchmen for Jesus and listen to me there. It's not on TalkStream Live, but it's on my own website. Y'all have a good night. Family, remember, times are going to change, but through Jesus Christ, you'll get through them. We'll see y'all tonight, 9 o'clock, or tomorrow, 4 o'clock, regular broadcasting on TalkStream Live. Have a great night. God bless. This is The Watchman, signing off.
From him, like sunlight from the sky, guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.